I don't want to ask you about that, but just sticking with B40, what are some of the tissue correlative studies that are being looked at? And I heard at one point there was some discussion about looking at in vitro sensitivity. Is that still going to be done?
Yes, that will be part of the study as well. We're going to be looking at a tumor with a company called Precision Therapeutics that will do this test, and we'll look at actually in vitro chemosensitivity and try to correlate with pathological complete response, but also with other gene expression profiles, which also will be looked at in core biopsy material before and after surgery. I think if there's one lesson we learned from our previous neoadjuvant trials, when we did B18 and B27, we still allowed patients to enter with fine needle aspiration because we were at the impression that we like to perturb the tumor as the least possible. But now I think it's much more important to collect tissue up front so we can do all the standard biomarkers as well as all the putative biomarkers for the future.
And when exactly do patients get biopsied?
They get biopsied before chemotherapy, and then at the time of surgery, we'll collect tissue again. There is no middle biopsy at this point. That was felt that would be very difficult to do, but it would be certainly a nice way to actually be able to see what happens after the first regimen.
One of the vexing problems in oncology is what to do with a patient who's had neoadjuvant therapy and then goes to surgery and has significant tumor bulk there, maybe positive axillary nodes. Any thoughts about looking at this in a research fashion, and how do you think that's going to play out in B40? Do you think people are going to want to take patients off study and treat them, or what's going to happen?
Probably not. I think, unfortunately, the standard of care for those patients essentially is to continue hormonal therapy if they're ER positive, to maximize local regional control if they have still a residual disease. But when it comes to additional systemic therapy, we have really no evidence that anything works, unfortunately. This is a question that we really have tackled over the last several years, try to come up with a study that will address this need. Initially, we were thinking more in terms of chemotherapy, adding another chemotherapy regimen versus not. But the more we thought about it, we felt that it was important, and the NCBP Breast Committee felt it was important to address more of a biologic agent in this setting. Now, having said that, all the new adjuvant data have supported the notion that, counterintuitively of what we thought, patients that don't respond to the original AC or AC taxane regimen are pretty chemo-resistant, and no matter what you do in terms of chemotherapy, I doubt that you're going to affect their outcome. On the other hand, there's another group of patients who have very good clinical response to either the AC regimen or the AC followed by taxane regimen, and they go to surgery and they still have residual disease. So the question for those patients is, would additional chemotherapy make a difference? So taking all that into account, we decided that it's time to try to evaluate a biologic agent, but maybe allow the option for some patients, if the investigator felt compelled, to get some more chemotherapy, let's say capecitabine in that setting, and then be randomized to the biologic agent or not. So it will be a stratification variable. So if somebody wants to give additional chemotherapy, they can, but if they don't, they will just randomize the patient to the biologic or not. Now, in terms of what biologic, we've struggled with that over the last few months or even couple of years. We initially thought of bevacizumab. We have looked at other angiogenesis inhibitors, such as the multiple tyrosine kinase inhibitors, sunitinib may be a candidate for that. But I think it's still in evolution what agent will fit that profile. Ideally, we like to use an oral agent, that I think that would be preferable, and use it for a certain period of time of about a year or so. But the final decision still haven't been made.
I had heard that there was some interest in looking at Halberstein's metronomic cytoxin methotrexate bevacizumab platform in this specific setting. What are your thoughts about that strategy?
Well, I think it's certainly an interesting strategy. I think, again, what we've learned is that standard chemotherapy may not make a difference. Now, that's an interesting concept because if you give even standard chemotherapy with bevacizumab, you may actually make the chemotherapy more effective. And maybe one of the reasons that you didn't kill the last tumor cell in the primary tumor may be that is some chemoresistant that can be reversed by the addition of bevacizumab, as we've seen in other trials. And that was our bias as well, that if we had to use bevacizumab, using it alone in the post-neoadjuvant setting may not be as effective. But again, there wasn't a lot of enthusiasm of adding chemotherapy in this setting. But the other tyrosine kinase inhibitors actually have shown, obviously, single-agent activity as well. And there is no evidence that you have to use them with chemotherapy to be effective.
And I guess thinking about those kinds of patients in B40, half of them are going to get bevacizumab,
right,
anyhow post-op. And then hopefully the other arm, a lot of them are going to get hormone therapy, so at least they feel like something's being done.
Sure, sure. And that's what we felt too. We felt that the patients from B40 would not contribute so much in this post-neoadjuvant setting. But on the other hand, there are many patients that receive neoadjuvant chemotherapy outside of B40, and those patients obviously would be candidates.